Morning to everyone. Appreciate each one that's here today. I've had you all on my mind for a little while and had this message on my mind a while. And I prayed over it a little while, and maybe the Lord would have something else instead of this. But as I began to pray, I feel like anchor down a little bit, said that's what I want. This is a message that should be an encouraging message. That's what I would call it. And something to help us to hopefully understand God a little bit better. Desire your prayers as we look into the Word of the Lord. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. That's where I want to start at. Deuteronomy 7, and we'll start, I'll read the 9th verse here, 7 and 9. It said, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." Now, the Lord, when Him and Christ, well, they made the first covenant, first plan, or however you want to say it, under the Old Testament, but all from He never quit having a real desire for something better. And they begin to look and they put a plan together. And that's what the New Testament is. And God wanted to do something where that the power and the working of God and man would make it in such a way it would have a drawing to souls. And it would have an appearance of the holiness and the righteousness of God. Now he said, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God." There's a lot of people this morning would like to say, "I can't live for God. I can't do what you all say we need to do. I can't do what the Bible says to do." But that's my burden this morning, is the faithfulness of God. And listen, folks, He don't leave any room. There's not anybody here or anywhere else that can't live for God. God has made a plan and a way and that you and I can do what we need to do by His grace, His help, His power, His authority. We can live for God and we can watch others live for God. And it's possible that if I can do it, anybody can do it. But He said He is God. And then He said, the faithful God. Now then, I believe everybody in here that knows anything about God and lived for Him would say He's faithful. Amen? Everybody say He's a faithful God. Has He ever been unfaithful to you? Has He ever abandoned you out on the street when you was in trouble and He just stuck you out there and said, "Well, I don't want to help you," and He left you out there? No, He's always been there to help you and I out. He's always been there to be a blessing and a help, to give us the strength and the grace and everything that we needed, praise God, as we live for Him. All right, let's go to a wonderful verse here, Malachi 3 and 6. Malachi, the 3rd chapter, 6th verse, said, "I am God, for I am God and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord, and I change not." God is going to be the same every way, every day, till the end of time. Till He takes us home, till He wraps it all up. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is going to be the same. You and I will never be able to. And people, if they turn Christ down, if they walk away, if they don't want to do what He wants them to do, the bottom line is when they meet Him, He's going to be the same that He was then. And they're going to see Him and they're going to say, "Well, I couldn't do that." He said, "Yes, you could, because I changed not and I've got the grace to to help you to live for me. People want to say, well, I can't do it. Yes, you can too. Anybody can live for God. Anybody. The Lord is the God. We have an experience. And one of the most thrilling scriptures I'll get here in a little bit to me is the part that of our relationship with Him. All right, let's go to Lamentations, the third chapter, 23rd verse, Lamentations 3 and 23. Desire your prayers. 3 and 23, it said, it is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassion fail not. They're new every morning. Great. Great is thy faithfulness. Now then, faithful means strict in the performance of duty, unswervingly devoted, loyal to one's promise, trustworthy. Great means unusually or comparatively large in size or dimension. Unusual or considerable in degree, beyond what is ordinary. Now then, he's saying that it is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. That's very true. No matter who we are here this morning, it's the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. And then it said they're new every morning. And then it said, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silent, because he had borne it upon him. So he said, great is thy faithfulness. His faithfulness is above everything else. And the only reason you and I can be faithful to anything this morning is because of Him. His working with us, helping us to see that we need to be faithful also. But His faithfulness is great enough that He's going to reach down, He's going to work, He's going to be there, He's going to help, He's going to do. It doesn't matter if it's a small thing or a large thing. A while back, and I've had this happen two or three times, and I don't really know why, but it seemed like I get so much gas in my system that I try to burp it off, so to speak, and I can't hardly do it. And I've gone for hours and struggled and hurt and pain and calling out on God. And I had it here some time back, and I got up, finally got some rest and everything settled down, and I got up the next morning and I thought, well, Lord, what could I eat? I was scared to eat anything. And so I was just praying and walking and talking to the Lord, and the Lord said, insure. Well, I normally don't have insure in the house, but I just so happened to have some because of her mother. And I thought, yes, that probably works. So I went and got it and I tried it. Now you'd say, well, that's not a big thing. But the thing of it is, Christ's great faithfulness is faithful to us. And no matter how small it is, how large it is, how great it is, in any way, Christ's faithfulness is right there for His child, knowing that we need some help. Now that don't seem like a big thing, but I got news for you. It helped me. It helped me, thank the Lord. And then I got to thinking a little bit further. And I thought, well, another thing probably would be malt meal or cream of wheat. And I had some of that too, but I had the insurance. What I ate. Then I called my sister-in-law and talked to her. She said, yeah, you're right on track. Well, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. Listen, folks, when you and I live for Him, and when we do the things that He wants us to do, and when He helps us and He lifts us and He blesses us, He comforts us, He strengthens us, all the things that He does for us, He wants you and I to tell about it, praise God. Let people know, great is thy faithfulness, oh God. Thy faithfulness is wonderful. All right, let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And about the 89th verse. Psalms 119 and 89. And it says here, it said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth forever. And it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in mine affliction. Now he said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Now there's a scripture in the New Testament that says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Said thy word, the word of God that gives us all of these great things is settled. It's solid. It's forever. It's never going to change in any way. And it's because of the faithfulness of God. If God changed one little bit, or if the word was like it is now, but it changed down the road, it could throw you and I into a turmoil. It could affect our minds. It could affect our trust in God. Because, Lord, you said this, but you didn't do that. And that would get us in a mess. But the Lord said, thy word is settled in heaven, and thy faithfulness is unto all generations. It's going to go to the very end of time. The very thing that Christ done is going to work perfectly right down to the end. It won't change. His salvation won't change. His sanctification won't change. Divine healing won't change. His love, mercy, pity, compassion, none of that will change. It will all be the same till the very end, to all generations, to every person that lives and dies. All the way down to the end of time, it's going to be the same. He's going to treat everybody the same. Well, I hadn't thought about this, but I guess it'd be called the parable of the penny. Those that got in early, they got a penny. And then those that come in later and went out and worked, they got a penny. Listen, folks, when you and I make it to heaven, no matter how many years before so-and-so went to heaven, the bottom line is, there may be somebody get in just before the judgment or just before they die. And the bottom line is they'll get just as much as everybody else. Because he's faithful, see? He's going to treat everyone the same. There is no prejudice with God. He sees everybody identical. He treats everybody identical. I didn't know I was going to get into this. But the bottom line is, the Lord is here. He died for you and I. He died to make a plan of salvation. He died to set us free, set us on a solid rock, to do things nobody else could do and the old plan couldn't do. He's got a way of glory for you and I today. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, today he's faithful to you and I. Thank the Lord. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. They continue this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless the law had been my delights, I should have been perished. I should then have perished in my afflictions. All right, let's go to Isaiah 25:1. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I'll praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made the city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. So he said, I'm going to praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Oh, today, his faithfulness, counsels of old, his counsels, his life, the thing that he brings out, the truths that he has set in place, all the way from the old prophets that have prophesied down through the years, they have all come to fruition. Everything they said about Christ, everything they said about this and that, all of that was set in place, and it all come about right at the right time. So, he says, here that counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Today, this word of God is true. There has been people that have been in this chapel for years and years that have lived it and died. doing it, living it, doing the things that God would have them to do. Thy faithfulness. Thy faithfulness. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and 13. 2 Timothy 2 and 13 here. We'll read a couple of verses. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now let me back up here. Let me go back to 11. 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying that for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But we believe not, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of those things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So he says here, he said, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. God is going to be faithful in judgment and compassion. There's going to be people that's going to deny him. There's going to be people that walk away, forget, won't have anything to do with him, and live that life for many, many years. Well, what this Bible says, that one day that the sinner that does that is going to be cast into outer darkness and a hell fire. He's going to be absolutely faithful to be that side of it. But then those that have lived faithful to him for all the years, whatever it might be, he's going to be faithful to them. Said, come, ye blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Listen, folks, today, he's going to be faithful on both sides. That's why you and I have to stay faithful. If we don't stay faithful, just because we live for him 10 or 15 years and we walk away from him, that don't mean we have a set up in heaven that we're going to make it no matter what. If we walk back and go back into sin and live the life that we did before we got saved, that means that you and I will be lost at the end if we don't get straightened out. Christ is faithful to his word. Depart from me. He comes down hard. Molly and I have been doing some Bible readings, I guess you'd call it, our worship. Went through all the Psalms. Then we went through Proverbs. And I guess it was back when the COVID deal started. I got to reading, when I had COVID. I got to reading Proverbs. And if you read in Proverbs and follow it chapter by chapter, God is so hard on sin, exposing it, opening it up, letting you know what it is, but then he is so faithful to let you know that if you live this way, you're going to be blessed. It's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Sin will cause a man to be lost in a devil's hell, rejecting God. There is somebody over in Myrtle that had lived a very, very good life. He had an angel of a wife. I never really knew her, but I've heard a lot about her. She was one wonderful woman. They had a house that they could see all the way down to the chapel. And he would stand there and he'd tell his wife, said he was a good moral man. I'm not saying he was a drunkard. No, he was not. He was a very good moral man, a very good businessman. He took good care of his family. But he never got saved that we know of, that I know of. That I know, none of us know of, as far as that goes, for what I'm understanding through the family. But he'd stand down there and he'd say, I'm just as good as they are. And I thought one day, I was thinking about him. I never knew him. But I thought he made one mistake. His last great mistake was he rejected Christ when he stepped out. He had rejected him and turned him down. I'm just as good as those people down there, wife. I'm just as good as they are. We're not as good. They're not as good as we are if we're washed in the blood. There is a definite difference between a saint and a sinner. And Proverbs and other places in the Bible bring this out very clearly. But Christ is going to be faithful to do everything that His Bible says it will do. In other words, if you're lost, you're lost because you've done that. You've chose that way. If you're saved, it's because you chose that way. You have pulled, you have nestled up close to a faithful God that has been the one that has helped you to live the life right down to your last breath. And when you step forth and say, "Come, ye blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Oh, today. He said, "But if we believe not, yet he abided faithful." He cannot deny himself. He is not going to do different than what this word says. He is going to do exactly what it says, and he will hold us in charge by that. All right, let's go to Hosea 2 and 18. Hosea 2 and 18. "And in that day, I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with creeping things of the ground. And I'll break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth. And I'll make them to lie down safely." Now, folks, I get excited when I get to this. "And I'll betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee to me in righteousness, in judgment, loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. The earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow unto her, and I will sow her unto me in the earth. And I'll have mercy upon her that I had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them that were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God." Now this is a prophecy of the what was going to come when Christ come. That there was going to be a marriage between Christ and mankind. And folks, today I have been in awe for several months now. And I don't really totally know why. But I've just thought about God and thought about the life and thinking about how we can be His children. We can be His bride. He can be our husband. His power helping you and I. I've just stood in awe thinking out. He comes down in services. He blesses services. Wasn't it Thursday night, I believe, at Guthrie? It was so rich. Like Brother Michael said, everybody enjoyed it. It was powerful. It was rich. It was wonderful. And it wasn't because who was there. It was because He was there. He was coming down and pouring it out. And we were rejoicing and shouting and singing and blessing and enjoying. And the very presence of God. Listen, folks, today. He's saying, "I will betroth thee." What He's saying here, "I will be married to you. I want you to be my bride. I'm going to call you. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to bless you and help you. If you'll do what I ask you to do, if you'll come, if you'll give yourself to me, I will move in. I will live within you." Listen, this is what makes the new plan and the old plan so much different. Oh, today, I want you to be my wife. I want to live in you. I want to bless you. I want to take care of you. I want to help you. I've done this over 50 years now, and I wouldn't trade one second for sin. The blessings that I've had, and it ain't all been easy, but the bottom line is the Lord is so wonderful. Even just like I said about the little deal a while ago, to you that ain't nothing, but to me it was a blessing. Listen, folks, the least blessing that He can give to you is great to you. It may not be a whole lot to me, maybe, but it's great to you. But the very fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, wants to do these things. I know what He did. I know He was born. I know He lived. I know He died. I know He rose again. I know He ascended. I know He set the whole thing in place. But the bottom line, God wants to be your friend. He wants to be your companion. We have a chance. There's probably been people, well, I know they have, maybe a man particularly, that likes to look at a pretty woman and say, "Well, my, she's beautiful. I'd be married to her." You know, just the thought. Well, listen, folks, we are ugly. We're dirty. We're horrible in the quagmires of sin. And yet Jesus looks down and He said, "I want to be married to you. I want to bring you up and out. I want to make something different out of you." One minister among us, they were at a family reunion. And they said this man come in and said he was dirty. He was filthy. He was just horrible looking. And they looked down at him and they was actually looking down their nose at him. And just, "Well, I'm glad I'm not like you." And the Lord spoke to them and said, "If it hadn't been for me, you wouldn't be where you're at. You wouldn't be here." Listen, folks, we can't look down at anybody. But the very fact that we have been brought up and out by a faithful God, one that saved us, one that stood by us, one that's encouraged us and strengthened us, one that has done the things that we needed Him to do, in the least, in the biggest, in the medium. Listen, He's been right there. He's been a faithful God, a faithful companion to take care of you and I. Said, "I will betroth thee to me forever. And I'll betroth thee unto me in righteousness, judgment, loving kindness, and mercies." All right. I think this is Barnes here. But he says here, said, "I will betroth thee to me unto me in righteousness. Or rather, which is a tender yet and more merciful. By righteousness, etc. These are the marriage dowry, the bridal gifts with which he purchased and espoused the bride unto himself. Righteousness then, judgment, loving kindness, and mercy and faithfulness or truth are attributes of God, wherewith, as by gifts of espousal, he maketh her his own. Righteousness is that in God whereby he is himself righteous and just. Judgment, that whereby he puts in act what is right against those who do wrong, and so judges Satan. As when the hour of his passion was at hand, he said, when the Comforter is come, he'll reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now then, he goes on down. He said, loving kindness is that tender affection wherewith he cherishes his children, the works of his hand. Mercy, his tender yearnings over us, wherewith he hath compassion on our weakness. Faithfulness, that whereby he keepeth the covenant forever, and he loveth his own unto the end. And these qualities are as they are his, whereby he saved us, so doth he part them to the church in her measure and to faithful souls. These are her dowry, her jewels, her treasures, her inheritance. He giveth to her and to each soul as he can receive it. And in a secondary way, his righteousness, judgment, loving kindness, mercy, faithfulness, his righteousness, contrary to her former unholiness, he poureth into her and giveth her with it grace and love and all the fruits of the Spirit. He keepeth her a right judgment in all things as contrary to her former blindness. Know ye not, says the apostle, that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Loving kindness is tender love wherewith we love one another as Christ loved us. Mercies are the same love to those who need mercy, whereby we are merciful as our Father is merciful. Faithfulness is that constancy whereby the elect shall persevere unto the end. As he saith, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Oh, today. Just think, folks. Now, there's been times that a man has approached a woman, asked her out, done all he could do to win her, but she wouldn't be won. She would refuse him and turn him down. And there's pain there. There's pain there. But listen, folks, today, this one, when he has gone after us, now think about it. Let's put it this way. Let's say a very common man wants to be married to a queen. Now, in the, however you want to call it, in the monarchy, that would never work. You can't do that, basically. You got to marry pretty well, in a sense. But anyway, we have a chance. No, we have a choice. That we can be married to God, to Christ. We can be married to the one that has done everything that he could do to make a plan that was so perfect that will never be imperfect and can never be changed in any way. And we can be married to him. Christ, the God of heaven, the one that created everything for you and I. Oh, today, thank the Lord for that, that we can be his bride, his wife. All right, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. Time's getting away from me here. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. Carl, if you go the right direction, it'll always read right. In the right book. I'm going to Timothy and not Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, the Lord, he wants to set a people in place, and he wants to establish them and settle them in such a way that they're solid. That they can take and just live this life by his help, by his grace. I'm not saying we never don't need him. That's not what I'm meaning here. But in other words, he wants to establish you. He wants to set you in a solid place. He wants to keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do those things which we command you. Oh, today, he works to establish people. He works to do a wonderful work within them. All right, let's go to Hebrews 2 and 17. Hebrews 2 and 17. He said, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now then, wherefore in all things it behooved him. Now then, you and I will never understand what another person goes through unless we go through something just like it, or very close to it. We've got to have the experience to be able to say, I understand. It means something when you're in a battle and you're in a trial and somebody comes up. All right, I went through some. I had a breakup one time years ago. Sister Marie Miles sat down and wrote me a 6-page letter telling me how she had gone through what she had gone through and how the Lord had helped her. And she took time for little old me. Others did too. But I really appreciate what she done, because she wrote it all out, typed it. Really, I think she typed it, if I remember right. She typed it and sent it to me. I want to help you, child. I know you're not very old in the Lord, and I want to help you. Oh, that meant something to me. She understood. I listened to what she said because I knew a little bit, not a whole lot, but knew a little bit what had happened to her and what she'd gone through. And it said, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. If he hadn't come down here and took on a body of flesh and lived this way for 3.5 years and gone through what he went through and been through the trials and the tribulations and so forth, he wouldn't know what you and I go through when we get into these things. But he's able to get there right by us. He's able to give us counsel, scripture, songs, whatever we need. He's able to do that because he's right there, has gone through it. He understands it, and he wants to help us. And I don't know about you, but he's done the greatest job of anybody. In little things and small things, he's been right there. All right, now then, let's go to the 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Now here is the, if you want to say the bedrock of this whole message right here. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, saints, that right there tears down any excuse of I can't live for him. I just can't do it. There ain't no way. Have you tried? Well, no, but I just can't do it. I just know I can't do it. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common. In other words, we all are going to have trials and tribulations, and some of us is going to have almost the identical same thing through our lives. We're going to do it. I've had things, I'd say that Brother Bob's had trial and tribulation that I've had, and so forth. In other words, we're not going to get out here and sit up on a stump and say, well, I'm the only one. No, we're all going to have it. But he says here, and this is what I love, he said here, but God is faithful. But God is faithful. To me, that's saying that no matter what the temptation, no matter what the trial, the tribulation, no matter what you go through, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. I just can't do it. Yes, you can. Anybody can do it by the help of God. This is saying that no matter what comes our way, he's a faithful God. He's looking down. He's watching. He allows this stuff to come. He don't do it himself, but he allows it. He's doing it to establish us, to settle us, to perfect us, to work with us, to bless us. Look at Paul. Paul was a great preacher. He was a great man. I've not known of anybody that had his experience of getting saved. And Paul was in that situation, and Paul was talking, and Christ said, my child, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace. His grace is powerful. His grace is help. His grace is everything we need. There's not anything that we can get involved in or happen to us that he don't have enough power and grace to help us. If you need it, he can give it to you. He can answer any question you've got. He can open up any scripture. He may not do it immediately. He may make you study on it, think about it, pray about it, and everything before he gives it to you. But the bottom line is, he's going to help us. No temptation. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. I know sometimes it looks like it's going to be pretty rough. I was suffering one time. I still don't know what I had, but evidently it was a pinched nerve in my shoulder, this right shoulder. And it was shooting pain. One day it shot it all the way up the side of here. One day it shot it all the way up on the back of my head. Now I have a daughter that is a flight medic. At that time she was a regular EMT. And she wanted to be a doctor. She was working to get into a DO school to be a doctor of osteopath. Well, she didn't make it, but she was wanting to. And so the Lord visited me the night before she asked me this question. And the Lord told me, said, how's it go? Oh, if we suffer... Anyway, he said, are you willing to suffer for me? That's what it was. Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to go through this? Well, I've been doing it. And so Donna the next morning asked me, said, Dad, said, if I was a DO, and DOs have training to do, what do they call it, where they work on you, pop your back and all that. I can't think of the name of it. Anyway, they have that practice. So Donna goes, if I was that and I could help you with your shoulder, would you let me do it? I said, well, maybe, I might. And then she said, well, why don't you go to a chiropractor? And I thought the Lord knew what was coming and gave me the answer before I ever got there. I said, because the Lord asked me last night if I was willing to suffer for him. And I thought, I'm going to do it. Forget the chiropractor. And I'm not condemning anybody on a chiropractor now. Don't get me wrong. Some do have help. But the bottom line is, he was a step ahead of LBJ because he knew what she was going to ask me the next morning. He said, are you willing to suffer with me? Yes, Lord, I'm willing to suffer. Now, that don't seem like anything big, but it was a blessing to me. But will with a temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it? There's no way that anything is going to box us in that God can't get us out of. He's going to be able to get us out of. The devil may try to wall things and do things, but the Lord's going to be right there to help us. All right, let's wrap it up. Let's go to 89 of Psalms. We'll be through here in a minute. 89 of Psalms. We'll start reading 89 and 1, the good book of Psalms. And I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, and thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all that are about him. O Lord of hosts, who is strong like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. He said here, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Now, saints, the Lord wants us to testify of his faithfulness. However you want to say it, none of us here because of ourselves. We're here because of Christ. Young people, middle-aged, older, we're here because of Christ. We're here because of what he has done, how he has helped us, his grace, his strength, his power. And he said, and I will make known. The Lord wants us to let the people know of the faithfulness of God. Wants us to tell it, testify it, write it, sing it, preach it, to let it be known. He said, I'll make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Mercy shall be built up. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. He's established everything totally and completely that needs to be established, and it will go right to the end. And then he said, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, and thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Now, Lord, help us to praise him on Wednesdays and Sundays and thank him for his faithfulness to you and I. Right in the congregation, we need each other's testimonies. We need each other's experiences, so to speak. What I mean by that, in other words, we need to tell what the Lord has done for you and I. Who can be likened? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? Nobody can. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, are to thy faithfulness round about thee. His faithfulness is everywhere it needs to be. Oh, let us praise him. Let us lift him up. Let us exalt him. All right, let's finish. In Hebrews 10 and 23, two places here. Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then it said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful is he. Now he said here, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Don't waver, because it said he is faithful that promised. He's not going, well, you can't learn all of this in one night, 1 week, 1 month. It takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime of living it, a lifetime of a life, a marriage, a connection with Christ, being his son, going through trials and tribulations, and having all these things happen to us, and what we go through. And then, as he works with us and teaches us, now I could be wrong, but I feel right now that my faith is probably at a pretty high pitch. I know that don't, maybe that's not the right word, pitch. In other words, when I say that, I've seen enough, heard enough, and everything, been through enough, that I feel that God can do anything at any time with anybody. There has been people that has been, in among the saints. Now they're with the saints and have seen healings that has been absolutely wonderful. Cancer all through a chest of a sister, God healed it. It was documented. Her unsaved husband made her go and get a checkup, and they found this cancer all through her chest. And she was at a revival meeting that her brother was holding, and him and his wife and myself went up and prayed for her. And she said, as we were praying, said she could feel a warmth go all through her body. And she said she knew right then she was healed. And there's been other things that God has done that I know of and seen. And that inspires me, lifts me, challenges me, stirs me. That God, if you can do it for them, you can do it for anybody. Oh, today, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. He is a wonderful, wonderful God. A wonderful God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He gave me that scripture in the 11th chapter of Luke. And I had quoted another one just like it, almost like it. Quoted it a lot. But it says something different that I did never see before until he inspired me one day. And that is, it says, ask and it shall be given. But in Luke, the 11th chapter, 8th, 9th, 10th verse, it said, I say unto you, ask. That's different. That's a definite speaking from God to you and I. Ask and it shall be given. Shall is an absolute. It's not something maybe or I'll think about. It's an absolute. That helps me to know that he will do what his word says he will do. And he'll do it right now. He will help us. He'll answer prayer. He will work. He will do things. Because he's a faithful God. Lord, help us to be a faithful saint to our faithful God. Appreciate your time, Tim, and your time and your attention this morning. Pray for me.